Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, your community hospital with a rich heritage that dates back to before New Mexico was a state. We've been improving the health of the Four Corners since 1910. As a nonprofit hospital, San Juan Regional Medical Center is a values-driven organization. We strive to deliver on our mission to personalize health care and create vitality and enthusiasm in healing. We are here for you when you need us, offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services. This program on KSJE is supported by Citizens Trust and Investment Corporation, providing a competent, innovative, and caring team of professionals to serve wealth management, trust administration, employee benefit plans, retirement planning, and estate settlement needs. Find out more about Citizens Trust and Investment Corporation at 505-599-0181. Well, let me turn to my guest who has been patiently waiting for me to introduce him this morning from San Juan Regional Medical Center. Marcus Appleton is here. He is the chest pain coordinator at the hospital. And Mr. Appleton, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for coming in this morning. Good. And talk to me about what that means, what your job means as a chest pain coordinator.
Okay. So San Juan Regional recently attained the distinction of being accredited as a chest pain center by the American College of Cardiology.
So okay.
Probably the premier group in the nation to
right.
deal with cardiac care.
Okay.
That certification, that accreditation took a whole year to achieve. It takes a year process of collecting data, making sure that you're doing what you say that you do and say what whatever. So,
and this is something the hospital's been working on for a while, beyond this just 1 year, correct?
Working correct.
Towards this status, this accreditation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We actually first attained accreditation in 2016. And then this time we went for a higher level of accreditation.
Okay.
And so now because we have a cardiac cath lab at our hospital, we are able to attain a level of accreditation that helps us when we're treating patients who need a cardiac cath as well.
I see. And so this all relates to obviously heart care and chest pain relates to heart attacks, but it could be other things too, correct?
Could. It could. Anybody can come into our emergency department or our urgent care anytime with chest pain, whether that's potentially having a heart attack.
Right.
Or it could be that they're having chest pain because they've got pneumonia. Or they've been out mowing the lawn or something and they've strained their chest, a musculoskeletal strain. But at that point, we don't know what's going on. So when they first come in, we have a set group of treatment protocols that let us identify that patient and say, hey, are they having cardiac chest pain or are they having non-cardiac chest pain? And so there's initial workups by our ED staff, those physicians and nurses, helps us determine whether we need to go forward with cardiac care or not.
I see. And of course, I think always, it seems, or in many times in medical care, time is important. And the sooner you can identify what exactly is going on, I suppose, the sooner you can start that area of treatment, whichever direction you need to go.
Correct. Timing is everything. In the stroke world, one of my colleagues is a stroke coordinator at the hospital. She often repeats the phrase, you know, time is brain. And in my side of that...
That sounds like Tina.
You know Tina.
She's been a guest here, so yes. Okay.
So, in my world, time is heart.
Okay.
The longer that we wait to treat somebody who's potentially having a heart attack is that muscle in the heart can actually die. And so what happens is the heart from then onwards does not function as well as it could have done.
Sure. And so, if I'm having some kind of heart attack or heart issue, that muscle is getting damaged, is it
correct.
Not? Even if it's not dying, it's still going to be damaged.
Correct. You know, the term we use commonly is heart attack. The term that's used in the medical world, some people will recognize it, is a myocardial infarction.
Right.
Infarction is that beginning of the death of the heart. If it dies and the muscle dies, then we have ischemia. So what we want to avoid is the ischemia.
It doesn't sound good.
It doesn't. Even the word is hard to spell.
Right.
I think I would have a problem if that happened to me. So so it's good that that doesn't happen, or that you can help at least get some treatments to minimize the damage that's maybe being done.
We can intervene. And that starts, that time stops. If the person's walking into the ED, often people do that.
Yeah.
They'll drive from great distances to come to our ED.
Which you do not recommend.
We
do
not.
You do not, right?
Those three,
call 911.
Those three numbers, 911, will get you there. We have both a great EMS department. Our EMS folks are fabulous. And then, of course, we do have a fixed wing and a helicopter as part of our air care team.
That's right.
We go pick up patients at other hospitals who call us to look after them and care for them. And then we will send our helicopter out far out into rural areas to pick up a patient who maybe a local EMS team has collected.
Sure.
So that we can get into the hospital quicker.
And it goes back to that time issue, I suppose, too, because if I'm driving myself to the hospital, that's 10 minutes that I could have been seen by a paramedic, an EMS person that could be maybe starting some of this stuff or sending some of my data back to you all at the ED to say, here's what we're bringing into you in a few minutes.
That's absolutely right. Our EMS teams will get on site. They'll do an EKG. They'll give medications if need be. They'll transmit that EKG to the emergency department. And those teams can already be called on and are ready to receive that patient. In addition, Scott, what we don't want is someone who's having a heart attack, potentially, to be driving in. That worsens, and then they have a car wreck. And
sure,
now we have
course.
A trauma and a heart attack
right.
to try and deal with.
You got a heart attack and a broken leg and who knows what else happened from the accident.
And who knows what else, injuries to other people.
Right, sure.
So
911.
911, absolutely.
And this accreditation, did it look at some of these things too? Your coordination with EMS and some of these other things that we were talking about? Is that all part of this accreditation process?
It absolutely was. Metaphorically, it lifted the rug, lifted the carpet, pulled back the wallpaper.
Okay.
It really does go very, very deep.
Right.
It wants to know, there's 166 mandatory components that we have to pass to achieve that accreditation. Some of them are high level. So, for example, do you have a full-time, dedicated person to work on chest pain, i.e. myself?
That's you,
yep.
Right.
Do we have physicians as part of our team that coordinates that program? And then, very specifically, is the signage around our hospital easy to read and meet standards so that somebody can get to the emergency room quickly?
Wow. That seems very picky, but
very
that's
specific.
Part of it, right?
That's the whole point.
Okay.
This accreditation, there's only six hospitals in the state of New Mexico that have this level of accreditation, and only two, including San Juan, that actually have our level of accreditation. So there's only one other hospital in the state
wow.
that has this high level of accreditation. San Juan Regional has been known for a while to be a leader in cardiac care in this region. You know, we have a 5,000 square mile capture area, which is huge for most hospitals.
That's the area that you could draw patients from, or that you do draw patients
from. That's the area
correct?
That we do
this
draw patients from. 5,000
square mile.
5,000 square miles.
Well, we are in the West.
Go
yeah, right.
Absolutely, right. So you compare that to an urban hospital, say in Albuquerque or in Phoenix or in Salt Lake, who's drawing on a much smaller area, and the amount of care and access to care in those urban areas is far greater than here. There's
true.
Several hospitals, treatment centers.
Right.
We're
it
right. in this area.
That's true. And again, it's important to note because, again, if you live or you're working outside of even the urban Farmington area, and some folks may think that doesn't exist, but we do have some type of an urban area here because of the helicopter, because of the fixed wing, because of the ambulance services that we have to get you to a treatment center like San Juan Regional as opposed to having to transfer you and fly you to Albuquerque or Grand Junction or some other place. That's another part of the care, is it not?
That's right. That accreditation looks into those folks who work in those areas. So are they receiving annual training and education on the early signs of heart attack? Are they receiving education and training on how to identify EKGs? They get all that training. That's part of that accreditation process that we coordinate.
Gotcha. And heart attacks are still a big killer of Americans, is it not?
Correct. Cardiac disease, heart disease is the number one killer of Americans.
Still number one.
Still number one.
We haven't gotten rid of it yet.
No.
We haven't knocked it down a peg or two.
We haven't, unfortunately.
Okay. I know we're working on it. A lot of folks are working on it.
We're struggling to get to that point. And, you know, unfortunately, we still have a way to go.
I'm afraid we do. That's true. But but we are trying to be more active. And I know the
right.
hospital's very out there trying to get folks out and moving and reminding us that there are things we can do to have a healthier heart. I know many of your cardiologists recite those things all the time to me.
Yeah, we do. We have several events throughout the year. We do the Goosebumps race, of course, every spring.
Right.
And
when it doesn't get snowed out.
When it doesn't get snowed out.
Rescheduled,
right?
That's right. Exactly.
We do several walks. We do lots of events throughout the year. We do patient screening. We do our clinics working hard every single day. Particularly those folks at the San Juan Heart Center who are seeing those patients who've had their heart attack or had a problem with their heart, and they're seeing them every single day trying to make them have a healthier life.
Sure. And so let's talk a little bit about if someone does have a heart attack and they are coming and they get the treatment and then they're in recovery. And I know each case is different. We can't certainly say the same thing for everybody, but there is a recovery process, and sometimes it's easier than others, I suppose, depending on the seriousness of whatever happened to your heart muscle.
Yeah, absolutely right, Scott. There's no cookie cutter answer to that. What I can say is that the patient who comes in who's identified as having a heart attack is, if we can, we'll intervene in our cardiac cath lab. Those folks are there 24/7 on call. Any time of the day or night, they're ready to respond. And
so that means at 3 a.m., if
3
you wake up with chest pain,
yes.
and you're like, well, it's just dinner, it'll go away by morning, you're saying probably should call or go to 911 and get to the hospital,
call.
And there's someone at 3 a.m. who can come in and identify
yes.
what it is.
And those folks, often, there's not unusual for our team in the cath lab who are on call all the 24/7, as I said. It's not unusual for them to be come in at 8 a.m., start cases, 7 a.m., start cases, leave at 6, be called back at 7 p.m., leave at 9 p.m., come back at 10, and then be there till 5 in the morning. It's not unusual.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate
so kudos
their,
to them.
Their dedication, for
yes.
sure, to doing that. But I interrupted you, and I apologize.
No, absolutely.
But so when that happens, and so the recovery, what could that be like, I guess, for someone that has a heart attack?
It's going to be on a spectrum of recovery.
Right.
You know, there are going to be some folks who come in and receive a stent to the heart, or maybe they don't. Maybe they receive other medicational treatment. And the next day, they're fit enough to walk out of the hospital. Which is one of the great things about working in that area is that if we can catch it quick enough and they're not, they don't have other kind of illnesses or diseases that make them sick, there's potential they could walk out.
I see. And this is something that's really changed over the last, I don't know, what would you say, 10 years, 20 years?
10, 20 years.
About,
correct.
Because I think, you know, folks may think about, well, when my grandfather had a heart attack, he was in the hospital for 2 weeks or something.
Correct.
Recovering. Yeah. And it's quite different in some cases.
And in fact, my father had a heart attack in 2010, and he ended up having a bypass surgery. He had four vessels in his heart bypassed, and he was in for almost, even for the heart attack phase, he was in for 2 weeks before they did the bypass. So
to get him ready, to get him stabilized and ready to go for this major
correct.
Surgery?
Right. And that he lived in England.
Okay.
So treatment there a little different.
A little bit.
America, we have a higher level of technology and care and procedures. So now our folks can sometimes leave the next day, sometimes the day after, depending on where they're going to be discharged to. All of our patients then who need that will be referred to our cardiac rehab gymnasium and treatment center right there at the hospital. They come in as an outpatient.
I see.
And they can come with our qualified staff, and they come and work out and improve their cardiac health, and they're all being monitored by nurses at the same time down there.
And the idea is to regain some of that strength, I guess, in
absolutely.
The heart muscle? Is that the idea behind some of these activities? And
entirely
like
right,
that?
Scott. The heart muscle is no different from any other muscle in the body. How you work it, how you treat it, how you rehab it, depends on, will affect its use in the future.
I see. Interesting. And so with that being said, when you have these folks who are coming back, is there, if I've had one heart attack, am I at a higher risk of having another heart attack?
You are.
Because of these conditions that caused the first one, I suppose.
Correct. And often those are predisposed conditions like lifestyle, whether you smoke, you drink, how you eat,
right.
your activity levels during the day, whether you have genetic predisposition. You know, with my father having
a heart.
You
can blame my parents.
You can blame your parents
or
and
grandparents.
That's
okay.
right.
All right.
You know, I'm at a higher risk because
right,
of my
father.
Family history.
Right.
So those things have to be taken into account. So what we're trying to do is really improve what we call the modifiable factor, Scott. We can't change DNA.
Not yet.
Okay, not yet.
Right.
But we can change lifestyle.
Sure.
Smoking habits, drinking habits, eating habits, activity, those things we can change. So our nurses on our units on our floors, when they discharge our patients, they all get very specific education on how to do that, follow up in our clinic, and then they are referred to the rehab department if needed.
Got it. And some of these things you're talking about, though, are hard to change for some folks. I know smoking is very,
correct.
These habits that we call them, the lifestyle habits that we fall under, can be very difficult to change,
even if
you've had a life-changing medical event.
Right. And even for some people who want to change, smoking is an addiction. Any kind of use of any substance more than its normal use is an addiction. And smoking is a tough one for a lot of folks. Even eating, eating, there's a lot of eating disorders. And some of those, particularly for someone who has a lot of extra weight, can raise your risk.
Sure, right. But you have programs and support groups and things like that that can help these individuals, correct?
Yes, and there are a lot of groups in the community that also can help.
Right.
And I said our rehab program helps with diet, exercise. They monitor with the cardiac monitors while the patient's in there working out.
Right.
And so there's a lot of follow-up with these patients.
And I have heard that even for someone who has smoked for maybe 20 years, if they can stop smoking, that can turn things around, even if they've got this 20-year history of smoking.
That's true. It doesn't eliminate their risk.
Sure.
But what it does is it certainly starts lowering it straight away. And so that's why we're really really work with our patients on smoking cessation. We really want them to do their best to reduce and ultimately stop tobacco use.
Exactly. Interesting. And so what's next? You've got this accreditation.
Yep.
Is it good for a certain amount of time and then you have to start all over again, or
yep,
there's a renewal? How does that work?
So it's good for 3 years. We got it. We were awarded it in February of this year, backdated to February when the visit occurred. Mm-hmm. We actually had two members from the American College of Cardiology fly in. They spent a total of 2 days with us. During the previous year, we uploaded around 340 documents to their website, to their database, which showed policies, protocols, procedures, training, education, everything you can think of. We had to go around and take pictures of our signage and pictures of this, and where does our helicopter land, and how far is it away from our ED. And so we submitted all these documents. They reviewed those over that year and then came to the visit for 2 days and actually walked around our facility, spoke to our staff, spoke to our guests, our physicians, our providers, our nurses. And then they spend a while looking through it all, making a decision. That then gets referred to a large committee, an approval committee, with the American College of Cardiology. And then we received notification recently that we achieved that.
Gotcha.
Accreditation. So it's good for 3 years.
Okay.
And most people would say, good, you can take a break now.
Right.
Start again in 3 years.
But no.
No. The day after we got it, we start working on the next one to make sure that we're in good shape.
Got it. The renewal, I suppose, right?
That's right.
And all that. And I suppose they want to see that you are continuing to maintain those standards that you showed them that you had at the beginning of this process, right?
Correct, Scott. And actually, what's interesting is this accreditation by the American College of Cardiology is not just a maintenance. Every time you achieve it, you have to actually prove that you have improved your patient care, that you're actually progressing and moving forward.
So the bar is moving?
The bar is moving higher
every
time. And so they will not accept the status quo.
They can't do what you did 3 years ago.
Correct.
I see.
So the standards we went through 3 years ago were very stringent for us then. But we had to really up our game this time. And so next time we do it, it'll be the same.
Right.
And they will ask for a stricter even standards then. So it's really about what we call process improvement. If you did something at a certain level last time, the next time you do it, you should be doing it at a higher level of care.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But this includes everybody in that department of the hospital, and does it reach into other departments too? I mean, I could think of people like yourself and your cardiologists and maybe your nurses and other folks, but how much more does it spread around to the staff at the hospital that are part of this?
That's a great question. So let me give you a brief list of those departments.
Okay.
So
uh-oh.
We of course, starting right from scratch, EMS and air care.
Okay.
Those teams bringing those patients in. We call that the first medical contact right there and then. And then our great staff in the ED, our physicians and nurses and techs who are trying to treat those patients. It involves a cardiac cath lab. It involves staff on all of our nursing units, medical, surgical, nephrology, cardiology in particular, and also in real particular, our ICU staff who look after those cardiac patients who are just too severe to be on our units.
Mm-hmm.
It involves our radiology department, cardiopulmonary. It involves cardiac rehab, our lab staff, our quality department, legal, everybody you can think of.
It
involves a huge amount of people.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody. And they all played a role in this accreditation.
Correct. We actually have a team. So we call it the multidisciplinary chest pain team. So multidisciplinary, meaning people from multiple disciplines.
Right.
And there's about 14 people in that team, a mixture of nurses, techs, physicians. There are nursing managers. There are department managers. There are frontline staff. One of our cardiology nurses is actually a member of that team to provide input from a bedside nurse point of view. We have representatives from lab, from our quality department, from our respiratory department. So they are part of that team. We meet every other month and we review all of our patient data and look at those cases that need to be addressed. Those what we call an outlier. So when did we not meet our goals and why did we not meet them? And we decide whether that's a one-off or is this something going on systematically that we need to fix? And then we develop a process to fix that.
Gotcha. And again, this is something you want to do between now and the next times to identify
Correct.
These things, right?
Absolutely. It's always going. It's what we call continual process improvement.
I see.
Yeah.
And so we just have a couple minutes remaining this morning. And
yep.
So this all means to residents of this 5,000 square mile area that what level of care they should expect from the hospital.
What it means is
something happens
when you have if you're having a cardiac event or you believe you're having a cardiac event, this accreditation should hopefully show you that we're committed to care for all of our patients who come to our facility, no matter who they are. But we're in terms of this accreditation, we're especially committed to our patients who come in with signs and symptoms of chest pain and cardiac difficulty. We serve about 2,500 patients last year
wow.
who came to our facility with chest pain. That's a large amount.
It is.
When you think about that and you break it down, that's about 50 a week. And so that's a good size. It's about 50 a week.
Right.
That's a good.
You're better
size
at math
number.
This early in the morning than I am, so I'm going with your.
Well,
numbers.
You gave me some great coffee,
good.
So I'm
good,
enjoying
good.
It.
Yes, sir.
It really means that we're here to stay. We're here to provide care for our patients. We're here if our community needs us, and we'll be ready. We are engaged in our community. We want to provide the best service to our community with the best staff in the region. And in the cardiac care, part of our cardiac care of our patients, this accreditation shows that we've met a standard that, again, only one other hospital in the state can meet at this time.
Right.
So, and that includes some of those big names. When you look at some of the big names down in Albuquerque, there's only us and one other hospital in the state that has this level of accreditation.
Well, congratulations to
you
and on all the staff that worked on this, which we know
it's
is a
huge a
lot.
Team, and it really is a team effort. This
mm-hmm.
is not a solo effort by any means. My job is to help bring people together and help assimilate answers and bring and synthesize answers. It's not to provide those answers. So it's a great team effort.
Right. And the other thing that I think it means, at least to me as a potential patient and a resident of this community, is that we have the staff and the expertise and the hospital's made the investment to have these folks at the hospital standing by ready to go at a moment's
Correct.
Notice to deal with these issues, some of them serious.
Yes. It's a huge investment by the hospital. It's a huge investment in time and finances and resources, and the hospital is committed to that. This program is not going away. We're committed to it. The care is committed, and our folks stand ready when you need us.
Very good. Marcus Appleton, thank you for coming in this morning.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Appreciate the information.
Great.
Marcus Appleton, my guest from San Juan Regional Medical Center. He is the chest pain coordinator at the hospital, talking with me about their recent accreditation. I'm Scott Micklin, back with more in just a moment, everybody. The time right now is 8:42. This program on KSJE is supported by Citizens Trust and Investment Corporation, providing a competent,
innovative and caring team of professionals to serve wealth management, trust administration, employee benefit plans, retirement planning, and estate settlement needs. Find out more about Citizens Trust and Investment Corporation at 505-599-0181. This program is supported by San Juan Health Partners Urology, providing a wide range of personalized services for the whole family, including children. Our caring professionals are dedicated to helping meet your urology health needs with skill, experience, and service you need. For a complete listing of our services and to learn more, visit sanjuanhealthpartners.com or call 505-609-6300. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.